Welcome to the podcast. Today, we are looking at a major update to ChatGPT's image generation capabilities that brings explicit reasoning into the visual space.
We are also diving into NVIDIA's strategic move into the quantum computing sector with their new open-source Ising AI models, and looking at an Alberta startup that is stripping the software out of farming equipment entirely.
It is a really interesting mix today, going from the absolute cutting edge of artificial intelligence and quantum architecture down to 12-valve mechanical diesel engines.
Exactly. Sometimes the biggest disruption is just removing the microchips altogether. But before we get to the analog tractors, let's start with the digital canvas.
OpenAI just rolled out ChatGPT Images 2.0 on April 21st, powered by their new GPT-Image 2 model. This represents a pretty significant shift in how these models operate, moving away from just generating a quick, creative picture to actually acting as a visual thought partner.
The key word there is thought. They have integrated a reasoning step into the image generation process. So instead of just immediately spitting out pixels based on your prompt, the model actually takes time to search the web, plan out the spatial layout, and verify details before it renders anything. It is a fundamental change in the architecture.
And that reasoning phase addresses some of the most persistent headaches we have seen with AI image generation over the last few years. We are talking about vastly improved text rendering, the ability to handle complex multilingual instructions, and actual spatial control over fine-grained elements like user interface components.
Right. And it can generate up to 8 consistent images from a single prompt. If you're a designer trying to storyboard a sequence or build a consistent UI mockup across different screen sizes, that consistency is exactly what you need. It turns the tool from a novelty into a practical asset for professional commercial workflows.
But that thinking process does add latency. It takes noticeably longer to get your result. The question for professional designers is whether that added wait time is justified by the jump in quality and the reduction in the number of rerolls you have to do to get a usable image.
I think for most professional use cases, the answer is going to be yes. If you're generating an infographic or a complex layout, waiting an extra 30 or 40 seconds to get the text spelled correctly and the layout balanced is a lot faster than taking a flawed, warped image into Photoshop to manually fix the errors.
There is also the competitive angle. With the GPT Image 2 model now capable of handling text-heavy, complex layouts, it starts stepping directly on the toes of entry-level design software like Canva. You don't necessarily need a pre-built template if you can just prompt a reasoning model to build the layout for you from scratch.
Exactly. And for developers looking to build this into their own applications, the API pricing is set at $8 per million image input tokens and $30 per million output tokens. That is a crucial metric to watch as companies weigh the cost of integrating these reasoning models against traditional asset creation pipelines.
It is worth noting that while the baseline improvements are available to all users, those specific thinking features are gated behind the ChatGPT Plus, Pro, Business, and Enterprise subscriptions. So OpenAI is definitely positioning this as a premium professional-grade tool.
And as with any enterprise tool, there are questions about safety guardrails. There have been some early reports of inconsistent filtering with the content moderation, which is always a risk when you are deploying generative AI for real-world business tasks. You need to trust that the model is not going to output something that violates copyright or damages your brand.
Let's shift gears to quantum computing. NVIDIA just released a family of open-source AI models called Ising, designed specifically to automate quantum processor calibration and improve real-time error correction.
This is a fascinating intersection of AI and quantum mechanics. Right now, quantum computers are severely limited by noisy qubits that generate constant errors. Calibrating these systems is incredibly complex and usually requires a team of highly specialized physicists spending days tweaking the hardware manually.
NVIDIA's trying to solve that massive bottleneck. Their Ising calibration model is a 35 billion parameter vision language model that they claim can reduce that calibration time from days down to just hours. that is a monumental operational shift for quantum startups, especially the Australian firms highlighted in this report.
It really moves the industry from a talent-heavy manual process to a talent-light AI-automated workflow. And they did not stop at calibration. They also released Icing Decoding, which uses 3D convolutional neural networks for real-time error correction.
The performance claims on Icing Decoding are striking. NVIDIA says it delivers up to 2.5 times faster performance and 3 times higher accuracy than pie matching, which has been the industry standard for quantum error correction for a while now.
Jensen Huang, NVIDIA's CEO, made a very pointed statement about this release. He said AI is essential to making quantum computing practical. With Icing, AI becomes the control plane, the operating system of quantum machines.
That quote really reveals the broader strategy here. By open sourcing these models, NVIDIA is positioning its software stack as the foundational layer for the entire quantum industry. It feels very similar to how they made their CUDA platform the default, inescapable standard for AI development.
It raises a valid question about ecosystem lock-in. Does this open source strategy genuinely democratize quantum development, or is it a calculated move to ensure that the next generation of computing is permanently tethered to NVIDIA's GPU-based hardware and software ecosystem platform?
Given NVIDIA's track record, it is likely a bit of both. The quantum startups are seizing on this because they need a fast track to commercial viability. If NVIDIA's AI models can stabilize their noisy qubits today, those startups are not going to worry about vendor lock-in a decade from now. They just need the machines to work.
We also saw quantum computing stocks surge right after this announcement. But you have to wonder how much of that market reaction is driven by the actual technical breakthroughs of the Icing models versus just the NVIDIA halo effect. Anything NVIDIA touches right now tends to see a massive valuation bump, regardless of the timeline to actual profitability.
For our final deep dive, we are moving from quantum calibration down to heavy machinery. An Alberta-based startup called Ursa Ag is making headlines for building and selling completely no-tech tractors.
This is a direct response to the massive frustration in the agricultural sector over modern, software-locked equipment. Farmers have been fighting for the right to repair their own machinery for years, but companies like John Deere have increasingly tied everything to proprietary software that requires an authorized dealer to fix.
Ursa Ag is bypassing that software ecosystem entirely. They are building tractors using remanufactured 12-valve Cummins diesel engines, equipped with mechanical Bosch P-pump fuel injection systems. There are absolutely no electronic control units, or ECUs, anywhere on board.
It is purely mechanical engineering. If something breaks, a farmer with a wrench and standard mechanical knowledge can fix it right there in the field. They do not have to wait days for a technician with a proprietary diagnostic laptop to show up and clear an arbitrary software code.
And the price point really reflects that lack of complex electronics. Their 150-horsepower model starts at $129,900 Canadian, which is about $95,000 US. The larger 260-horsepower model is roughly $146,000 US. That is essentially half the price of comparable modern equipment from the major brands.
It is clearly striking a nerve. Following some recent media coverage, Ursa Ag reported receiving over 400 inquiries from American farmers. There is a massive, underserved market of operators who prioritize repairability and lower upfront costs over the digital features found in mainstream agricultural equipment.
The challenge for a small startup like Ursa Ag is going to be scaling production. Getting 400 inquiries is great, but building and delivering 400 heavy-duty tractors while maintaining quality control and supply chain stability is a monumental task for a new manufacturer.
There is also the regulatory side of this. By relying on older, mechanically designed remanufactured engines, they are sidestepping the modern, electronically controlled engines that are designed to meet strict current emission standards. It raises a major question about long-term emissions compliance.
That is a very valid concern. Currently, using remanufactured older engines falls into a specific regulatory gray area in many jurisdictions. But as environmental regulations inevitably tighten, that loophole could close. Plus, sourcing enough high-quality remanufactured Cummins engines to meet mass-market demand could eventually become a severe bottleneck.
Still, it is a fascinating market signal. When farmers are actively seeking out decades-old engine technology just to avoid the software ecosystem of modern tractors, it shows exactly how disconnected the major manufacturers have become from the daily operational needs of their customers.
All right, that covers our main stories for today. Let's hit a few more updates before we get out of here.
Sounds good. We have a mix of open-weight coding models, legacy operating systems, and federal quantum policy in the roundup today.
First up, the team at Qwen released Qwen 3.6-27B, a 27 billion parameter dense, open-weights, multimodal model that claims to outperform massive mixture of experts models on major coding benchmarks like SWE Bench.
It is a huge win for local deployment. Getting flagship-level, agentic coding capabilities in a dense model of this size, complete with a 262,000-token context window, makes top-tier AI much more accessible for developers running on modest hardware.
In an incredible feat of reverse engineering, developer Haley Somerville has released the Windows 9X subsystem for Linux, allowing a modern Linux kernel to run cooperatively with the Windows 9X kernel on the exact same hardware.
6 years of development went into this project. It uses a VXD driver to handle syscalls via the General Protection Fault Handler, avoiding hardware virtualization entirely. It is a massive technical achievement, even if a crash in either kernel brings the whole system down.
The U.S. National Quantum Initiative Act expired back in September 2023, and a recent GAO report found that the current national quantum strategy lacks clear agency roles and specific resource levels.
The Senate Commerce Committee finally advanced a reauthorization in April 2026, but the delay highlights a lack of centralized coordination. With global investment in quantum tech hitting over $33 billion this year, the U.S. really needs a unified framework to stay competitive.
IonQ has released a technical report outlining its blueprint for scaling to 10,000 physical qubits and achieving fault-tolerant quantum computing, claiming they hit a 99.99% 2-qubit gate fidelity in 2025.
The roadmap targets 2 million physical qubits by 2030. It is a strategic move by CEO Niccolo de Masi to address investor skepticism and prove their trapped ion technology can scale to handle complex, error-free calculations.
Finally, the autonomous surgical robotics market is projected to reach $5.64 billion by 2030, growing at a 16.6% annual rate, driven by the increasing demand for minimally invasive procedures.
Intuitive Surgical is leading the charge, having just received FDA clearance in January 2026 for its Da Vinci 5 robotic system. As these platforms integrate more AI, hospitals are increasingly viewing robotic compatibility as a baseline requirement for modern surgical care.
And that is going to do it for today's episode. Thanks for joining us as we navigate the shift from digital software locks back to mechanical wrenches and everything in between.
We will be back next time with more analysis on the technologies reshaping our industries. Until then, take care.